You're listening to episode 97 of the FitsPro podcast, and today is going to be for all brands or businesses, entrepreneurs seeking to build a brand or business using Instagram. So you have an online business likely, or you have a brick and mortar, but you are using Instagram to help build a recognizable brand and business and drive traffic from Instagram to your actual business to create revenue and make money. These are the 10 most common mistakes that I have seen and had myself over the past 5 to 6 years of being on the app. So I truly think this episode is very, very valuable, and you will be able to pull at least one thing out of it no matter what. So without further ado, let's dive in. The FitsPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitsPro. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitsPro. As usual, you guys know what to do. So remember that you need to check the show notes to see if you were the reviewer of the week, and then also keep an eye out to see if you were the listener of the month. The listener of the month receives 50% off any non-membership program of mine, as well as a freebie from Frey Skincare, which is my favorite skincare company. They are made for women who sweat. They plant an argan tree for every set sold. They're just all around an amazing company. I love supporting them. I love working with them. So you can always use my code FDBA to save with Frey Skincare, and never hesitate to reach out. I am happy to help you figure out what you need in that realm. Also, you can check the show notes and Annie's weekly wrap every week to see if you were chosen as the reviewer of the week, and you would have to leave a review in order for that to happen. So if you haven't, just stop what you're doing right now, go give it 5 stars on iTunes and leave a review. And I'll just love you so much. Thanks. And you could subscribe to Annie's Weekly Wrap at anniemiller.co/news. There are podcast listener discounts there and the weekly wrap. So just everything that I think you need to know from the past week. So as far as this episode goes, if you are trying to grow an online brand or business, especially in the health and fitness field, it is likely that you are using Instagram to help with that process. This is my assumption, and please know that that is the lens that I am viewing this through and kind of how I'm speaking about this. Health and fitness businesses trying to build their brand or business using Instagram. Of course, tons of this will apply to other fields and areas of expertise as well. Even, you know, products that people sell versus selling a service. So last week I posted a few photos from my Instagram back in 2014, and that got me thinking about how much the platform has changed in almost 7 years now. When I started in 2014, you could post a single photo and a limited space caption. Short captions were very, very common. That was literally it. Photo, small caption. If you wanted to post multiple photos, it had to be in a grid. And then singular 15-second long videos came out later on. I don't remember the exact year, but I have also shared on Instagram my first, you know, speaking to the camera video that my friend and kind of biz bestie, she's also my brand photographer and videographer, she came home from a conference and she was like, Annie, video is the future. We both have to start speaking into our phones and putting videos on Instagram. I was so nervous. She wrote a script for me, mind you, for a 15-second long video, wrote a script. I went in the bathroom and like rehearsed it 30 times before I could come out and just say it. I was so scared. I was nauseous just to speak for 15 seconds on camera. If that doesn't paint a picture of like everyone comes from somewhere, I don't know what will, but anywho, so Instagram started as just a singular photo with a small caption, and then they came out with 15-second long videos, a single video. And then I believe it was in 2017, don't quote me on this, when Facebook bought Instagram, that the platform would change at an exponential rate. Now, in 2020, we basically have Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, blogging, and Instagram all on Instagram, right? All on this single platform. I am lucky enough to have been building my business and adapting with the app as each new feature rolled out. Whether you've been here since 2014 or before that, or you're just getting on Instagram, it can be a lot to handle and to navigate, and it gets very overwhelming, and I recognize that. So my hope with today's episode is to reveal 10 mistakes that I see quite often with professionals attempting to build a recognizable and sustainable business with the help of Instagram. And do keep in mind that I am coming from the perspective of a health and fitness professional, but I do think that most, if not all of these apply to any industry. Let's go ahead and start with number one, which is creating content for colleagues instead of clients. Remember, these are 10 mistakes. Now, I encourage my Fitzbros to follow colleagues and friends in business, absolutely, in the field. The purpose of that is, yes, to gain content ideas and to build relationships and network with these people. Let me make very clear that it is not to copy or steal content, rather just to be in the know, to get creative ideas and things of that sort, as well as build relationships with people you legitimately support in the field. But something that can happen when we follow a lot of other professionals in the industry is that we start creating content that we and our colleagues need or want versus creating content that our clients need. This is why no matter how advanced you get in your own learning experience, it is so important that you understand who your ideal client is and where they are at in their journey, because this is what we need to be constantly creating content for. Again, no matter how advanced you get, ideally, your advancements in your own education and knowledge and systems allows you to better break down that same content, those concepts for your ideal client. So if you're ending up with a lot of fellow coaches or colleagues following you and commenting on your posts, that's a signal that it might be time to reevaluate your content and your messaging and make sure that you are actually attracting and speaking to people who want to pay you. Right? We're building a business. We need to make money. So we need to have people in our audience engaging who are getting free value from us so that they will eventually pay you or want to pay you and invest in your programs. Again, this is super duper common in the health and fitness industry. And I think almost everyone has ended up doing this and going down this road at some point and has to redirect and reevaluate. If you're like, oh my gosh, that's me, like 100%. There are only other coaches commenting on my stuff or interacting with me, feel free to download my free Ideal Client Avatar Creator in order to better identify who your ideal client is, who you want to work with, what their experience has been, what they actually need from you, and how you can best communicate to that person through your free content. You can download that at anniemiller.co/ICA, just the letters. Next up, number two, is not pushing for interaction. What I mean by not pushing for interaction is that I don't see coaches and professionals, and again, this is just through my lens, it's going to be different for everyone, but I don't see coaches and professionals leading their audience in an aggressive enough manner, in a clear enough manner, in a concise enough manner. The fact is that you are the leader of your audience. If you don't view yourself that way, I encourage you to make that mindset shift. You are the leader of your audience. You are not a pawn on Instagram for the algorithm to play with. We are all creating expectations and culture in our corner of the internet, whether we realize it or not. Whether it's intentional or not, you are building expectations and culture in your corner of the internet. So I want you to take in that mindset shift of, no one is commenting on my post, or my post never gets shared, to getting in your stories and encouraging your audience to comment on and share your posts to their stories. I want you to look at how much time you spend on communicating to your audience what it is that you would like them to do with the content that you create. They are on your team. You are working together to spread your message. You need them. Right? If people are still not commenting and sharing your posts even after encouraging, then focus in on your Instagram stories and encourage people to direct message you from there. Or you can do polls and quizzes and use some of the other Instagram tools and stories. This is all interaction, and it all conditions your audience to be more engaged with your content, to do more things with your content rather than just viewing it. You are the leader of your Instagram. Never forget that. Okay. Moving on to number three, a lack of consistency. This is no surprise. This should not surprise you. Now more than ever, it is imperative that people trying to build a profitable and engaged audience on Instagram are consistent. I saw a coach the other day talk about the fact that you don't need consistency, and that is a flat out lie. Would you tell someone in health and fitness, oh, you don't need consistency going towards any goal? Nope, don't need consistency. That won't be necessary. It's ridiculous. Unless you are creating viral content with every post, the algorithm does not favor accounts who have 72-hour plus gaps in their posting. That is just data, okay? The more people interact with your content, whether it be Instagram stories or posts, the better chance you have of continuing to be in their feed and in the front of their story bubbles. I am sure you have experienced this with accounts that you follow and you no longer see any of their content, yet you still follow them. That's what happens when you stop engaging with their content. That's why it is so important that you encourage your audience to interact with accounts that they would like to continue seeing, and that you do the same with accounts that you want to continue seeing in your feed and in your stories. We have to work with the algorithm, and that is doable. And I actually love it because I think it creates more conscious consumers. And I am all about that always. So the less consistent you are in that process, the harder it is going to be for you to build an audience, let alone an engaged audience. When we are consistent with our free and valuable content, it builds trust, dependability, and a recognizable brand with our audience. That is the goal, and it requires consistency. End of story. If you're a health and fitness professional and a client comes to you and wasn't getting results, I guarantee that one of the questions you would ask them is how consistent have they been with sticking to the protocol? I ask the same question when people are trying to build a business on Instagram and they've quote unquote tried everything. Have you just been consistent? Like legitimately consistent? It's a fair question to ask, I think, and something that you need to ask very honestly of yourself and look at your system, your protocol, how you show up on the app and be honest with that answer. Number four, not looking at metrics. Number four gives us context and eliminates emotion tied to performance on the app. When we look at numbers, again, we get context, and it helps to eliminate, if not at least minimize, emotions that are tied to your performance on the app. They allow us to take a better educated and intentional action with our content. This is something that I teach in an entire module of Instagram 101, which is my signature Instagram course. Metrics on Instagram include likes, comments, shares, saves, follows, reach, profile visits, website clicks. There's more, of course. You have to be a business account to look at your insights, but that's where you can find these things. Per post, per story, all of that good stuff. Get in the habit of looking at your metrics. You want people to comment, share, save, and DM you from your content. Yes, likes do drive reach, meaning they help you get in front of more people on the explore page. But if you're looking for an engaged audience, Those more intimate interactions on the app are what you should be focusing on, which again are people actually taking the time to comment and save and send your posts to different people. Are they DMing you from your stories? These are the things that we want to be happening. You have to be, again, a business account to see your insights, but you should be able to see everything if you click on your insights inside the app. So number four, again, is just focusing on metrics from a objective, point of view, right? Taking it in, seeing what does well, doing more of that, doing less of what doesn't do well, and removing the emotional attachment, that codependency of your performance on the app. Number five, not interacting with others. If you have an established brand, yes, you can likely get away with kind of posting and getting off the app, posting and walking away. That is a perk of having an established audience. If you are attempting to build a network and have a younger audience, a greener audience, I do suggest spending an hour per day or at least 3 days per week where you can interact with other accounts so that you get in front of more eyes. This is networking. This is getting your profile in front of other like accounts. We have to remember that at its organic core, Instagram is a social app. It behooves you to be social on it, especially if you are building a brand or a business in the earlier stages. Number six is having an unclear bio. When I go to your Instagram bio, I should know who you are, what you do, who you help, and how I can get more information from you, how I can contact you. We are running a business. And even if it is a personal brand, which for a lot of you it will be, you need to use those 150 limited characters to clearly communicate what the heck your business does and what people can expect from you on your page. We are not trying to waste people's time. We want our bio to get people to say, oh my gosh, yes, I need to follow this person, or not for me, moving on. Either way, we do not want them to be on the fence. We want our bio to push them into a yes or a no. Again, this is something we completely overhaul in the early stages of my Instagram course, Instagram 101. Number seven is not using the new features. Guys, I know it can be so annoying. It can feel so cumbersome. You figure out kind of your system and then Instagram drops a new thing and you're like, good God, I have to do X. But this is true. The app and the algorithm favor accounts who are using the new features as they roll out. We saw this with Instagram stories, we saw this with IGTV, we saw it again with Reels, and now we are seeing it with Instagram guides. This is not to say that you have to continuously be using these features all the time. I want to make that super clear. By all means, determine what makes the most sense for you and what makes the most sense for your audience in a way of digesting your content. You will find that, using two or three features is what works best for your brand, but it will behoove you to attempt to use all of them. So if a new feature comes out, make an effort to use it a few times. Who knows, you might even like it. Maybe your audience really likes it, which is going to be enjoyable for you. And then move on. Maybe you use it, maybe you don't. But in the early stages, use new features. Number eight, creating too broad and or complex of posts. Focus. Listen to me now. Are we listening? Listen up. Focus on clarity and digestible content. Sweet baby Jesus in a manger. This is so bad, in my opinion, in the health and fitness industry in 2020. Again, this is my opinion, so take it with a grain of salt, okay? Sometimes this can be tied into creating content for professionals rather than your clients. And hey, if your clients are professionals, well, then that works. But either way, I want you to work on continuously breaking down your content and concepts more and more. Focus on one piece of one concept. If you make a post and it could be broken down into two or three posts, then do that. That helps you, right? You get more content out of that. You get to be more consistent with your posting out of that. and it's easier for your clients. We want things to be as easy for our audience as possible to understand and apply. The goal here, again, is to make your content digestible and easy to process for your audience. That can be hard, again, as you continue to, whether it's gain more knowledge or as you move on in your professional journey, it's so important that you remember who you're making content for. I have a huge, huge, huge hatred for content in swipe graphics that are laden with tiny words. I didn't come to Instagram to read a freaking book. Stop doing that. What are you doing? I'm not looking at that. And hey, by the way, this is my opinion. If you find that those graphics do amazing for you in your audience, well then keep doing it, right? I am just saying what I have observed on a large scale and what I think would help people to have an even more engaged audience and again, make more content from the current content that they are already creating. I realize, again, that this is my bias, but you also might have an easier time being consistent with your content if you get better at breaking down concepts and dispersing your content. Keep it simple, and when you think it is simple, make it even more simple. Moving on to number 9, trying to grow followers versus focusing on the ones you have. If I could just shake this into all new entrepreneurs' heads, I would. I understand that you need to grow an audience. Obviously, we are running businesses. If you have no one to sell to, you can't make money. That's an issue. Truly, I get it. But you probably have a few hundred followers now, and if you serve them and focus on honing in on your personal message and your brand, that audience will grow. It is a byproduct. Growth is a byproduct of you being clear on these things. I've said this before, focusing on growing your following is very similar to focusing on the number on the scale. It's the process that you need to get focused on in order to see that number change. We know this. It can't be the primary focus. The growing the followers, the number on the scale, can't be the primary focus. And last, but certainly not least, short-term mindset. Number 10 is short-term mindset, especially now with the algorithm that is going to take time and everything else I've mentioned on this episode, right? If you want to grow an audience, the algorithm makes things more difficult. Yes, we understand that, but complaining about it does nothing for you. You can work with the algorithm. You can remain in control as much as possible. Zoom out, and then zoom back in, focus on your current audience and shifting your message in a manner that truly feels authentic to you and is in line with what your audience needs. That is going to take interaction from you talking to your audience to figure out, which is great because you're building relationships with people, not robots or numbers. It is highly likely that you currently have at least 1 to 2 people in your audience who will pay to work with you. And that is enough. That's huge. Your goal is to speak to those people. Have realistic expectations on the app. Work with the algorithm. Be open to that. Encourage your audience to interact with your content. Build relationships with other professionals who you want to be in relationship with. Keep whittling down those concepts to spread out your content and embrace the long haul. As a little bonus, I will include a huge mistake that I just thought of now. So number 11 is not selling and or mentioning your offers and or coaching philosophy often enough in posts and in your stories. This is massive. Think of other brands that you buy from. I get that service brands aren't the same as selling clothing or coffee mugs or an actual good, but it will be difficult to build a profitable business if you aren't willing to talk about your offer in front of your audience. I hope that's easy enough to understand. So that is a little bonus. Number 11 is just not plugging in your offers often enough in those early stages, especially. We want your audience to know what your offers are, who they're for, why they should buy them, how they can buy them, etc., etc. All right, that last concept could be a podcast episode, likely all on its own, but I do want to wrap this up. So if you loved today's episode, please head over to iTunes and leave the show 5 stars plus a written review. You guys are too kind. I love reading these. I have gotten in a habit of reading them recently because honestly, words of affirmation are one of my love languages, and I fought that for a long time, but it really does build me up and it does motivate me to keep going when I get that positive feedback. So remember that I now choose a reviewer of the week, and I also choose a listener of the month who gets 50% off any non-membership program of mine, plus a freebie from Frey Skincare. You can always use my code FDBA with Frey, and if you're not on my main mailing list, make sure that you are, because there are exclusive podcast listener discounts at the bottom of every weekly email, and people definitely take advantage of those, which I am so stoked to see. So thank you guys. You're the best. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for listening to the FitsPro podcast.